Okay.
Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Anu Shukla, the co-founder and executive chair of Botco.ai. Good morning, Anu. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. I love your background of the Taj Mahal on Zoom. I love it.
Well, thank you. I hope to go there someday. This was the one I happened to pick this morning, so it's good timing, I guess. So
great.
And as you know, we both are in the Bay Area. We have another beautiful day here. It's hard to believe it's almost December.
It's lovely. I can't complain about the weather here. I can complain about many things, but not the weather.
This is true. Well, and full disclosure, I'm originally from the Northeast, so I never complain about the weather in the Bay Area. I always say it never gets cold here, right? I say California cold, but never real cold.
Yes, that's right.
So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. I've basically worked in the Bay Area for a really long time. And I worked at multiple companies that all got acquired or went public. And then I started my entrepreneurial journey, and I started my first company. It was called Rubrik. I was a pioneer and one of the first companies in the marketing automation area. And that company got acquired rather quickly, within 18 months.
Hmm.
And from then onwards, I've done three or four companies. So I'm what's known as a serial entrepreneur. Hmm. I've done five companies.
Hmm.
And then I'm currently involved with two or three different projects. One is a payments company called Rewards Pay, which uses virtual currency to enable payments. The second is Botco.ai. That's where I'm a co-founder and the executive chair, and we're very excited because after all this time, I'm back in trying to reinvent with my co-founders. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Phone rings. I can't help it. So I'm back basically, trying to reinvent or, juice up marketing automation using artificial intelligence and natural language processing. And the third thing is I'm doing some impact investing as in my role as an angel investor, but also as a venture partner for Elevate VC, which is based based out in Oregon, but we invest everywhere. And we're trying to support Black, Latina, Asian, Indian, women, minority founders, because we find they're underrepresented in the types of capital that they have access to. So it's not like we're not trying to make money, but we're just trying to do it while actually making an impact for underrepresented founders.
Well, that's great. I wish you luck with that. I might have some referrals for you actually after this. So.
I would love it, yes.
Okay, so what has been your experience with remote employment now that you're a serial entrepreneur? And actually, how long has Botco.ai been in existence?
So Botco.ai has been well over 2 years in existence. And in the early years, we took it a little bit easy. We were trying to flesh out the product. It was just us three co-founders trying to flesh out our product idea and really work with early customers in order to learn what would make this kind of product different in its category, leader in its category, and provide real value to customers. So really it's this year that we started to grow, raise some funding, initial funding, and started to hire people. And in COVID, we call ourselves a COVID baby because COVID actually helped us, believe it or not. We were in the personal care wellness space with some early customers in that space. And then all of a sudden we started getting approached by healthcare, behavioral health, mental health kind of organizations, senior living centers, basically desperate. Mm-hmm. And so we found a real traction in that segment. We're very focused there right now. It's not that our product doesn't widely apply to other cases. Anywhere you can use marketing automation, you can use our product. But our initial impact is from this healthcare sector.
Interesting. So as long as we're talking about it, why don't you tell us what Botco.ai does? It sounds like your customers are multiple people, but you're concentrating on healthcare right now. But what does the product do?
Yes. So the product is basically a platform to allow you to create a conversational marketing experience on your website, on a social media page, on a landing page, anywhere that you want. And it basically allows you to carry on a conversation with your prospects or customers around, and our use cases are very much in our templates that come with the platform are very much marketing oriented. So, you know, think about doing a campaign, telling people to sign up for membership. Mm-hmm. And when they come to your website or the landing page, there's going to be a bot sitting there that can actually talk to you and mm-hmm. talk to you in terms of answering questions about your product or about the program. Can I cancel? Is there a limit? Can I bring so-and-so, you know, I will charge my credit card, so on, every month, that sort of thing. And so we find that when you drive people to take an action, you can either have an action that you want them to do in session, and that could be buying something, but it could also be about, for a considered purchase, it could be about setting up an appointment with a counselor to find out if a behavioral health program is right for you. And we find that it increases conversion rates 100%.
Wow.
And so, you know, we think that we have really got a good traction in this kind of conversational experience that we enable with our platform. And the good news is there is no extensive NLP AI training that you need to do. We know marketing time and budgets are both limited and they change. So really the platform allows you to reuse a bunch of your work and to and has the inbuilt training that you have your own training interface. You can train the bot to answer better questions. So it's really creating virtual chat experiences that are interactive, two-way, rather than blasting out one-way emails to people.
Very interesting. I could see where that would come in handy right now. A lot more exactly. People online lately, right?
Yes, and virtual and remote, yes. Right? Yes.
And very interesting. So since you started 2 years ago and then the pandemic hit, did you know, you had to go remote. I know that since we're both in the Bay Area, you had to go remote. What was that like? And did that cause any problems that you didn't expect, especially since you were on an upswing?
Yes, very good question. Our company actually had a much easier time of adjusting to COVID and remote because we are a virtual first. Our company is actually based, Bartco is headquartered in Scottsdale, Arizona. Huh. And that's where many of our team members are. Our engineering team, there's a large concentration of them in Toronto, Canada, but we have lots of overseas people as well. So the reason we started virtual first was because the founders are all located in different locations and none of us would consider moving because family obligations. Mm. So since all the three our co-founders, but we made a real attempt to travel and meet, you know, and spend time together to get the company going. So we would meet for a week at a time at different cities. In the Bay Area, we'd combine it with customer meetings or prospect meetings or things like that. And so we got used to making it work. We've got all the tools. We have Slack. We have, you know, different other remote Zoom and so on and so forth. We got all of those and a real discipline around every single thing that we do, you know, right from the code version control to bug reporting, all of these things were set up to work in a virtual environment. And then we were very disciplined about setting up, you know, regular meetings and things like that. So the company started as virtual first and because of necessity. The other necessity was cost, because we were bootstrapping the company, literally funding it ourselves. And also customers were funding it by the initial engagements. You know, we had to be very, very efficient with money. And for two reasons. One, we really needed good people. And secondly, mm-hmm. we couldn't pay like Bay Area wages for them.
Right.
And so we had to find good people in remote locations and then learn to work with them. That was a necessity. So once we had funding and lots of customers and we started to ramp up and COVID hit, mm-hmm. it really didn't shock us that much because we were operating that way anyway, right? Yeah. And so, you know, we sort of quickly switched into that mode and kept the productivity going by just doing the things that we were disciplined enough to put into place before. Right. So I have to admit there wasn't a big change for us. I mean, sure, we don't travel to meet each other that often, but hey, we're doing a virtual wine tasting, open house coming mm-hmm. up. Okay, that's our holiday party. So instead of me flying to Scottsdale or to Toronto or wherever to meet with everybody else and gather everybody around to have a party, we're just going to do it on Zoom.
Yeah.
And we'll have the wine shipped to their homes, which mm-hmm. is what we're doing. Yeah.
Very good. And I've been to both those cities. Both are very nice cities. Although in the winter, I think I would choose Scottsdale. Although, don't get me wrong, Toronto is a beautiful city. I've been there many times.
Yes, I love Toronto as well. I love Scottsdale. And of course, I like to live in the Bay Area.
Yeah, they're all nice. So what do you think is the future of remote employment? Since sounds like you've embraced it. So how do you think it's going to go? You know, it's going to be accepted after COVID's over. And what do you think could be done to make it more effective?
Well, I think that remote is here to stay. I think in the future, we might go back, we might see a hybrid model. Mm. But I think the cost advantages of remote and since we had to make it work during COVID, mm. I think the realization has set in that there are some real cost advantages. So I wrote for a long time. I'm talking to tiny 10-person software companies, and they have a remote element.
Mm-hmm.
For cost reasons. So I think the cost reasons are so, and also not only cost, also availability of mm-hmm. the right resources. So I think when you find the right talented resource, like for example, we have our DevOps in Spain, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, we just found the right person that was right. ideal for us. So the combination of cost and the actual suitable talent is very powerful if you can harness it to your advantage. There are some disadvantages, of course, they will remain. And I think there may be large companies that have big campuses that they've bought and they're committed to that would want people in-house for more collaboration and for more face-to-face time. But I do think that even they will embrace a hybrid model because the costs of living in the city are so high. Mm-hmm. You can get that same person to live in their preferred spot of, you know, Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. and they can contribute. You know, you don't have to go set up a headquarters in Austin,
right.
And or anywhere else, and they can still be productive. So I think that those advantages are very big. And now that we have learned what we can do in COVID and how we can survive and thrive, I think that will become a model. I don't think we're ever going back to 100% everybody has to show up to work again, which is good because that was killing the commute.
I agree. Killing
everybody, you know?
I was doing that commute into the city of San Francisco. And in fact, where I live, you know where I live, down the mid-peninsula.
Yeah.
Housing prices have gone up because there's people moving here from the city of San Francisco because they don't have to be near Uber or some of those other companies, Twitter, that are up there. They can actually live down here, right? And have free parking.
Yeah, that's right. I think it'll relieve some pressures. It'll relieve some pressures on traffic and parking and
Everybody
crowding into big cities. I mean, yeah, people are sitting there with big towers and campuses that they've paid for. And I'm sure they're not going to say, you can just work from home forever.
Right.
I think they're going to say, you know, you're going to have to show up to work on these days for these meetings and all that sort of stuff. But they're going to, I think, support some level of remote working. I did hear about a company, I think I know the name, but I won't mention it. But they did say that we're 100% remote work. You can actually move to another state, but we'll give you money to move to another state, but then you're going to get the wages of that state.
Right. I think that one has, they have something to do with tweets, if I'm not mistaken, correct? That company.
Maybe, I don't know. I think they're in payments actually, but anyway.
Okay. Well, and a final question is, you know, there's companies like Gaper that help foster this type of environment where we provide software services for companies. You actually do something similar. You provide, you know, chat services for companies, right? So how important do you think this whole infrastructure is going to be going forward, you know, as the world gets back to normal?
Very, very important. And again, I mentioned to you, especially in terms of software services, you know, you always have the issue in software of finding the right talent and at the right price.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think anybody who can nail that, like I have the right talent, because, you know, everybody can tell you the great success they've had with remote teams. And we, you know, I met some people in gaming many, many years ago. They said they had this team of like four or five people in Russia, and they worked with them throughout, and they took the company to hundreds of millions of dollars of exit just based on those development team over there. But they treated them like their own team. They were dedicated to them and so on and so forth. So you can have some real success stories like that. I also know people who've had bad experiences. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you can provide the right quality at the right price, that's a killer combination and people will embrace it. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've mentioned at least three countries already. So I assume there's more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are more. Actually, yes. As long as they have the right talent and the right price, then, you know, we definitely embrace it and make it work for us.
Well, Anu, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you, and enjoy your work. We have another week of beautiful weather, so hopefully you'll get out and enjoy it.
I do. Thank you so much. Nice talking to you too. Take care.
Bye.